When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. before we move this along, because I'm very intrigued to hear what this segment is, and I probably need to give you maximum amount of time. I just wanted to let you guys know face-to-face, our question of the day was what war film character would you be in talking around it? Of your very own T-Mill. T-Mill, you want to do the honors? I think that we landed on a couple of characters that we felt like fit you. I wanted to hear and see if they rang true for you.
The most confident I was in this whole question of the day was in Clint. And Clint would be Lieutenant Aldo Rain on Inglourious Bastards.
Brad Pitt's character, have you seen Inglourious Bastards?
I have not.
Man. So good. It's a great character, real crotch first, goes in with his accent and commands his guys, goes into it. He's just a real fun character.
Is that a compliment or should I take that as a
Brad,
so.
Brad Pitt.
I think so.
Brad Pitt?
Well, I mean, yeah, Brad's, I'm no fool. That's not where I'm starting. I'm all right with myself, but damn, I ain't starting with Brad Pitt, boys. Yeah.
And where'd we land with show?
I think mine was the one that we were kind of going with, which was Robin Williams' character in Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That noise
that
makes me
see. That movie I've seen.
That sounds like you did not take that as any level of
no. Not very good. Yeah. He was, I was trying to think.
Yeah.
Only one I got in my mind is, I know it's not supposed to be a comedy, but that Full Metal Jacket.
Oh yeah!
Until He Dies. I don't. I haven't really watched a lot of it after that. But that is a comedy.
Oh,
I know it's
of,
not. Oh man!
Gunnery Sergeant Hartman.
Oh man! He lets it ride.
It's awesome.
That is.
I know it's been I'm not so long. I can't even remember the lines that he uses.
You
but
can't,
I know they're
well.
I can't. Hell,
just
it's
start
been 25 years.
Just start,
start thinking about that garden hose.
Yeah.
That's right. Only steers and well.
Yep. Exactly.
A jelly donut.
Don't grab my hand. Choke yourself. Come on, dog, for real. And then he slid into Saving Silverman. He was gay. But
I always knew I was different.
Touch my hand.
All right, fellas.
Text line shows major pain. All right.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
All right.
Black person in the military.
That's exactly what's happening here. Just lean into
You were Denzel from Glory. You got that tear. Work that tear.
Baba Gump.
Work that tear. Bubba Gump. That's a good one.
All right, fellas. I am excited to hear this first segment and, of course, all the segments that follow it with the best damn afternoon drive show in all of Houston. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. Happy Veterans Day to all who served. And right now, The Drive is live.
The Drive is live. Second that from Reggie. Happy Veterans Day to all. My daughter's doing it. She's doing two Veterans Day performances today. Did one for the veterans already earlier. She's going to do one a little bit later on, doing her part. So shout out to all the veterans here on this Veterans Day. Clint is back in the building. You heard him there. You can see him. We did go gray hoodies today. Did not inform Tyler. Not on us.
We're supposed to look Tyler. Like a team, dude.
Came in. Yeah, I mean, we're real close here.
I was looking at the tips. I was saying, man, we may
pause.
I think yours is a little darker than mine, but other than that, I mean, I think
dark. God, man, just can't get anything past you, Ken. He did.
I'm a gold glover, bro.
There's not multiple tips. Like it's if he said tip,
there could
tip,
be.
But there's not. No, they're not over here. Reggie's out of here. Not multiple tips over here. All right, but no, man. The Drive is back and live. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, appreciate you jumping in with us. You know how to be a part of the show. Text line as well, 713-572-4610. Tyler is in the building as well. And I know, Clint, you've been sitting on these hot takes. You've been sitting on these takes you had to miss yesterday, coming off the biggest comeback in franchise history, a huge game to keep them alive as they come back from down 29-10 and go 26-0 in the fourth quarter. But I know you have watched the film. You have been grinding, watching the All-22, and it is Tuesday, so you're ready and prepared for a little tape drop Tuesday. Let's slide over what you see. If you're watching early, it may have been rough. And maybe better the further you got through the game. But what did you see?
Look, I think I'm talking about the entire game here. I thought Nick Caley was absolutely elite, y'all. I mean, I said elite. I said capital E-L-I-T-E. Nick Caley was elite this entire game. From having his guys prepared to the plan that he put together to the adjustments that they made, the feel for what would work and kind of what to do and when to do it. The timing of certain play calls, getting back to, you know, making a big time play and then pulling the reins back and getting back into some of the things that was working, using your quick game, your mid range game, your shots, so many different little intricacies here to offensive football that Nick Caley he put it together. I mean, beautifully. And it was never more apparent, obviously, than the fourth quarter, but there were some really, really, really good things well before the scoring in the fourth quarter started. There were some misses. There were some, obviously, some turnovers or a turnover.
You're saying some misses that don't really fall on Nick Caley.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't fall on Nick Caley. Whether it's the quarterback missing the throw, or it's the quarterback never seeing the throw, or it's a little protection breakdown here or there, it doesn't take away from what Nick Caley was able to draw up. And I'm gonna say this: in the second half of this game, was hands down the best offensive football that I've seen from a Texans unit, all things considered, this year. I mean, that was the best quarterback play that we've seen
even
this
against
year.
Over the Ravens and the Niners.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Look, and now look, there's not discrediting any of that, but that was good. But this was great. This was, again, I can't emphasize enough about, you know, the opening, you know, the opener and a drive, man, you just take the hitch versus a soft corner, right? The opening of a drive, you just take the stack route to Higgins, which is a 10-yard hitch to start a drive or to convert a third down, and taking the driving the football down the middle of the field to Nico Collins and fitting it in a tight window, and everybody's like, "Oh, he should have done that." No, it was a great throw. It was a linebacker carrying underneath with his back to the quarterback. It was a great throw. It was a great catch. The very next snap, you come back and you don't get overly excited and try to take shots in the end zone. You just boom, boom, boom. You go right back to taking the underneath stuff that is there. It was – in the second half was absolutely tremendous offensive football and tremendous quarterback play. The overall game, Nick Caley, was really, really good and like I said, elite – with how he just kept dialing up. Davis Mills misses a corner throw to Nico Collins. Don't worry about it. We're going to come back and we're going to find another way to throw a touchdown. Right? I mean, it was just, there were probably five or six plays in this game that were either touchdowns that we didn't see or we overthrew, or throws that went somewhere else that would have been big-time chunk plays had the quarterback seen it. It was really good. And it started with the interception in the first drive. I mean, you got bang routes by Nico Collins, and I think it was Xavier Hutchinson, similar routes on both sides, and you're getting an all-out pressure.
Said there was something there, too.
You're getting an all-out pressure. There's nobody in the middle of the field. You're getting an all-out pressure. If Davis Mills just throws the ball to the middle of the field, either way, I mean, it is a huge chunk play, if not a touchdown. A hit-your-head-on-the-goalpost touchdown. But instead, we throw a pick, right? The drop by Dalton Schultz over the middle of the field on third or fourth? It was fourth down, wasn't it?
It was third down.
But, I mean, that is a hit your head on the goalpost type of play. You, definitely a chunk. if not a touchdown. Both of the overthrows on corners, one of them looked like a misinterpretation between him and Nico. I don't know if Nico looked over the wrong shoulder or Davis threw it over the wrong shoulder, but that was the miss to Higgins on the crossing route touchdown. The miss to Nico on the corner where he just overthrew it off the end of his fingertips. I mean, these are all plays that went for naught. Forget the ones that were the Higgins touchdown, the Dalton Schultz touchdown, the Dalton Schultz catch on third down to keep that drive alive, the Jalen Noel throw over the top that was a big chunk play. Like, I mean, when you talk about an offensive coordinator being in his bag and an offensive coordinator, like, giving a quarterback every opportunity, like, you don't have to force every throw. It's not a tight window throw. I mean, you got throws in the ocean. You had obvious reads. You had quick throws. You had easy throws. I mean, it was
what was the difference, man. What was the difference? What did you see that they did that was different? I mean, especially not having CJ, not having whatever they were doing up front, the issues they had. What was different from this performance, which it sounds like this was clearly Nick Caley's best performance?
It was definitely Nick Caley's best performance. And look, I think some of it had to do with obviously the opponent. You weren't facing a top five defensive front. I rank this, when you look at the Texans' wins, I rank this as the most impressive win, right? I would have had it right there with the 49ers after the game, just in a sense of quality win. Obviously, the Jacksonville game would probably be a little higher because of the way in which they did it in the fourth quarter comeback. But this, unlike the Baltimore game, this, unlike the 49ers game, you know, those two games, forget the Titans, but those two games, the 49ers and the Ravens, I watched their defensive front and I was like, this is embarrassing. Yeah. Their general man, you can't tell me that you don't have better dudes that'll try harder, that'll go harder as depth on your team than this bunch right here. I mean, maybe that's because I watched D'Amico and the depth that they have over here, and those guys play hard and make plays regardless. But I watched that film, and I'll be honest with you. I watched the film for Baltimore, and I watched the film for San Francisco, and I immediately went, man. I mean, it took the wind out of my sails because of how poor the defenses were.
It didn't take a huge effort to dial things up.
Those guys either were not very good at all across the board, like just zero threat, or they quit. Like Baltimore, those guys just basically quit and were just getting pushed around. Like, this was not a group that quit. This was not a group that was getting pushed around. This was not like this was the Texans imposing their will on a good defense in this league. Not a great defense. I'm not gonna sound like they went in there and slayed the dragon, but they went in there and it was because the Texans were doing certain things and doing it in a certain fashion that they put themselves in position to come back. I'm not going to sit and tell you that I saw the 26 points in the fourth quarter coming. I mean, that there's a lot of crazy things that happen in that part of the game from the offensive side of it. But
they got three legit drives that weren't turnovers. They had three legit drives to score three touchdowns. Yeah. In that, it's interesting because I'm watching that, Clint, and I'm like, because to hear you talk about Nick was so impressive, I'm like, man, looks like Davis is just making some throws out there. Like the Schultz touchdown in the back of the end zone, I feel like that was kind of like Davis just kind of buying some time and making throws right there. But it's interesting. You look and you see as much Davis making plays that this was a lot of Nick.
It's funny. I'm fixing to post the video of that play. Right, it's the best play that
the
I've
Schultz one.
Yes, it's the best play that I've seen from a Texans offense this year. And I can't think back. My memory sucks, but I can't think back how far back. I'd probably go back even further than that. That play right there, Ron. First of all, you had your best, like, so for the Dalton Schultz touchdown, you had your best players on the field with the exception of 14. Right, you had 27 in the backfield. You had 86 at tight end. You had 12 on the field, obviously. And you had Christian Kirk and Xavier Hutchinson outside. You spread them out, right? You had a trips formation to the field. You had Dalton Schultz on the line of scrimmage with his hand in the dirt, right? So let's start with that. Your personnel and your formation, I think, was you know, conducive to getting your quarterback an opportunity. The ball snapped, right? Dalton Schultz collisions, I think it was, what's 44's name?
No, British Brooks?
No, for them. Walker. He collisions Walker when Walker's on his way to do what? A tackle end twist, right? So he collisions him, throws the timing completely off. Therefore, the offensive line was able to build a wall and not let that twist, that stunt take effect and cause problems up front. All because Dalton Schultz alignment and Dalton Schultz release. Now, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but that's the way it worked out. So, I'm looking at that and going personnel, formation, immediately when the ball is snapped, the tight end collision in the defensive end and stopping the stunt from happening in perfect timing, which has been killing our tackles and our guards, right? And then the quarterback takes a snap. The O-line builds a wall. There's 5 yards of separation between the quarterback and the line of scrimmage. The quarterback reads hard left to your trips, your wide receivers. It's clearly they're shading that way. There's nothing there. He holds the ball just long enough for Dalton Schultz to run it like an inverted back line. Typically, it's a wide receiver running to the back pylon and then running straight across the back of the field, and the quarterback throws it high at the crossbar, and the receiver goes up and either makes a play or it's an incomplete pass. When it's a tight end, he's running that back line, but he's running it inside out. Right, and so that was a designed late throwback. Like, come back, read hard left. If it's not there, come back, throw it away high and over the head of your tight end. Give him the chance to that. That is a designed part of the progression. And he ends up getting back. Looks left, it ain't there. Boom, he comes all the way back right. He throws it high. Dalton Schultz goes up, makes a great catch. $12 million tight end. That's what you need out of him. Mm. And boom, we go on, and the game's a little bit tighter. It's a one score game at that point. And now you're back in business. That was, when you put all those, connect all those dots, that was probably, definitely this year, but maybe in a really long time, that was the best offensive play across the board. That particular play, the way it was designed.
Are you going to post it and give a breakdown to
it? Oh, yeah. You know how it is. Come on, man.
Check it out, man. You're going to post that sucker.
D-mails,
yeah, baby, that's it, man. Yeah, elite offensive coordinator play. Again, from the plan, the prep, the adjustments, the feel, the timing. You know, not killing the momentum with some bunch, you know, some kind of formation that jacks everybody up. Great job by the play caller and the quarterback not doing that. I thought it was tremendous. It was good enough to create a lot of questions about what you do offensively moving forward. I'll tell you that.
The hell's that mean? Now, you're not talking about. Please don't tell me you're talking about the quarterback position.
No.
Okay.
Okay. No, I'm just talking about scheme, approach.
Okay, you made
I'll tell
me
you
nervous.
Th- I'll tell
All
you
right,
this.
You made me nervous.
I'll tell you this. I did a hit with my guys in Little Rock a while ago. They asked me about the Texans every week. We talk about Texans every week in Little Rock. You know what my man said? Watches football all the time. Big Cowboy fan, watches football all the time. He said, man, Clint. How quick did y'all's post game show in that last 30 minutes of that game over? I said, well, it changed quite a bit, as you know. He said, yeah, man, you know what? It just seemed like when they opened things up and spread them out a bit and were a little bit more aggressive, it seemed like they found something there.
Mm.
I'll leave you with that right there. I'll leave you with that. There was a lot of success and very. There was some convincing. No, that's not what I'm talking about, Tom.
Steve Mills.
There was some very convincing, I think, spread formation, give the quarterback and the offensive line a little clearer picture. And by the way, I'm not saying you throw the football all over the park. That's what I'm saying. Because guess what? One of the most impressive things about the second half of that game, the run game was really impressive. And it wasn't just, again, an O-line dominating a D-line. It wasn't, again, just a running back making something out of nothing, right? It was a combination of all of the above. Inside, out, great play calls, great blocks up front. You know, some of it was great runs where the running back made a lot by himself. It was a combination of multiple things, which I think is what makes it so impressive.
All right, remember, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, a lot to get to with more. We got to look at the offense or look at the defensive side of the ball as they were dominant as well, especially in that second half and fourth quarter. But I know you said it made you look at some things that maybe the Texans need to sit down and have a conversation about offensively. I know there is one particular part of that team that at least is giving you a little pause to think about things. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, overall in protection, I thought they did a really nice job. Davis had time all day, you know. Starting off, we had to get some things corrected. It wasn't up to our standards, so we had to make changes, get it fixed. And once we got those fixed, I feel like the guys did a really good job of battling. Still things to clean up, but for overall, man, I thought Tay Trent did a really nice job on the edges, protecting it well. We had a couple zero pressures that kind of got us. We got to communicate better on, you know, our mic points and those things, make sure everybody's on the same page. But overall, you talk about a game protection-wise versus a really good front, our guys did a great job.
All right, that was D'Amico talking about the performance of his offensive line. I know even after the game or yesterday in the presser that you could hear right here on Sports Radio 610, he discussed that, hey, we're gonna keep looking and seeing what group works together. And he'll, as he mentioned, they did it in the middle of that game. they worked through before they got to what felt like, Clint, they settled in on Trent Brown, Patterson, Andrews, Scruggs, and then Ursary over there at the left tackle spot. So that seemed to be the five that they settled in on. And I know watching that and rewatching the tape like you did, it's caused your mind to think, well, maybe there needs to be a little bit more of a conversation with this offensive line group.
Yeah, look, I mean, and we'll get to the City South stuff. I mean, that is luckily, you know, that was going to be a headliner the way that game was going. But luckily, that fourth quarter, it's worth talking about. It's not a headline, but it's worth talking about. That's for damn sure. But the thought of there being a quarterback controversy is plumb ass silly, right? I mean, nobody's saying that. We can acknowledge that one guy plays well and understand that there's not a quarterback controversy at all, and CJ's the guy when he's healthy. Now, I do believe there's an O-line controversy, and I'm not talking about one of these silly ass, we're going to rotate left guard type deals. I'm talking about a true, how do you get to the best offensive line? Whether you're talking about who's the best guard, who's the best tackle, or you want to buy into what the Texans sell with, oh, who's the best five, right? I'm going to tell you right now. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Trent Brown displays abilities that nobody in a Texans uniform displays at the tackle position. Nobody, right? I don't know if it's sheer size. I don't know if it's just a physicality of just a guy's got heavy hands and a guy just plays a certain brand. I don't know how much of it has to do with the fact that the edge rushers for Jacksonville weren't the best edge rushers that the NFL have to offer. I don't know what to necessarily chalk it up to, but I'm going to tell you right now, Trent Brown, just with his sheer size, has the ability to collapse defensive tackles in the run game. If you're washing guys down in a slide protection type of scheme and protection, he has the ability to literally move individuals in the run game. All right. And as I said, in the pass game, and there's nobody that just effortlessly has the ability to move guys the way that he does. There's not Ariante Ursary may one day have that size and that ability, but right now he's not there either. When you look at Trent Brown, like the heavy hands I'm talking about, even when he misses a guy, not like when he dove for the guy on the backside and did get Davis killed. Luckily, there was an injury there. You know, that's a poor decision. I don't know why you're trying to cut an edge rusher on the backside of a throw like that.
That was a rough watch.
That was a rough watch. That was about trying to cut a player you should have never tried to cut. I don't know if that was Davis holding the ball was a problem or if he shouldn't have done that. But either way, let's say he's pass protecting and a smaller player, linebacker, he somehow becomes responsible for a smaller player in a pass rush. He'll shoot his hands at that guy, and he may not catch him flush, but just contacting him, that dude is knocked so far off of his momentum's no longer going where he wanted it to go. It's going the other direction, right? He has to bend at the hips whichever way Trent's pushing him. And so that, and I don't even know what to do with it. I mean, you as a listener, you as a Texans fan, you can decide what you want to do with it. I'm telling you right now that Trent Brown displays abilities that no other tackle on this football team does. Now, he's not as good an athlete as the other guys are. I don't know how long and how hard he can go given how old he is. I don't know how good his feet are going to be against a speed rusher. I don't know all those things. But I can tell you right now, we hear D'Amico Ryans talk about do what you're told to do, displace people at the line of scrimmage, play the game physical. There ain't no doubt about it, Ron. Trent Brown displays that by nature. He just simply does. And again, I don't know how much the credit is to like dude's just a monster human being. And the other part of it is in pass protection.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous there.
But Ron, when he and rightfully so, right?
Like I thought Walker was a really good. It's a good match of more of a power rusher than a guy coming off the edge speed wise. I don't love that. That one makes me nervous.
I don't know what he's going to do with T.J. Watt. All right, I don't know what he's going to do with the speed rushers off the edge. Some of the guy, the Benito kid that we saw, I don't know what's going to happen there. But I'm going to tell you right now, when he gets his palms on a defensive player, you mentioned a power player like Walker. When he got his palms on his chest plate, it was a wrap. It was over. There's nobody else on this entire offensive line that's doing that. There's not one person. Maybe every now and then, again, Ariante Ursary may do it. Titus may. This is a bop. I mean, let me get my hands on you. Let me sink my anchor, and you're going absolutely nowhere.
But you're not ready to get to a space where you're like you think maybe he should be in there at right tackle over Titus?
I don't know.
Oh, you're like you don't know. Titus has clearly been their best lineman.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
You were that impressed by what you saw.
Yes.
Well, I didn't get there. Yes.
I'm really high on Titus Howard.
You've been as high on him as anybody else.
And I'll be completely transparent. If Titus Howard only played right tackle, I would probably answer your question as a quick, he got to go back to the bench. But knowing that there's problems elsewhere, knowing that there's lesser players elsewhere, I'm not convinced that Trent Brown being your right tackle isn't the best answer. I'm telling you, it's that impressive. And I believe
text
this.
Text line coming in. Thank you, Clint. Trent Brown's a beast.
Well, I believe this, Ron. I believe that the guys, the decision maker. One, you know Nick Caserio loves him. He's got Patriot. He's had a Patriot on his helmet before. But you know that Cole Popovich loves it because he's got Patriot on his helmet, right? Nick Cayley, same thing, right? And then you look at D'Amico Ryans. It's what he's been asking these guys to do. Not anything against Titus Howard. I'm just telling you that there's no way a defensive-minded head coach has been asking for displacing guys at the line of scrimmage and being physical, doesn't watch that and go, fellas, that's what the hell I'm talking about. Even on plays when they got called for penalties, fellas, that's what the hell I'm talking about right there. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I'm not declaring that Titus Howard should not be a starter by any means.
It sounds like you're really turned on by him, especially his physicality in the run
100%.
Game. I feel like that Fisher role maybe could go to him.
Maybe.
If you're looking for that, because I just, like, I don't know what Ed Ingram and Titus have done. Like, there hasn't been enough for me to say, all right, those guys got to come off the field. Like, I wasn't that impressed from it. But the physical part that you're talking about, I ain't a lot, yeah. When he even got the false start, Woody Marks would have scored a touchdown. He absolutely drove that entire side of the field into the middle of the field, and he ran off of him, and it would have been an easy touchdown had he not gotten off early. And so maybe that is it. With that Blake Fisher jumbo package, maybe that's it. But I
don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I can just tell you that they've got a tackle problem. And
you mean a good one?
A good one, yes. Yeah. And the reality of it is you've got a guard problem, a bad one. And how do you answer all of the above? Now, it's going to take a tough conversation. It's going to take a tough decision that's made, and I don't know that they're going to do that. But I'm just telling you right now that you've got Trent Brown was really impressive.
He caused you to pause. Huh?
If we had a great offensive line and we were moving folks up front and we were great pass protectors, it'd be a no-brainer. Hey, Trent, get your old dad back on the sideline and chill out. But that's not what you've got in Houston. And that is, I sure enough would sign up. I want to see it versus a better opponent. I want to see it versus a better edge guy before I pull the plug on that one.
All right, some news about another playoff AFC contender and I mean, Clint's feeling frisky. How impressed? And where is your mind going with Nick Caley, who has been one of the most talked about people in this city? That performance on Sunday from him as the OC, is he potentially the answer? We'll discuss all that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Some news coming out of the AFC South. And with that, the AFC playoff picture per Jaguars, Clint. Travis Hunter, who missed this last game and was placed on IR, he underwent surgery today to repair his LCL, which will sideline him for the remainder of the season. There was no additional damage beyond his LCL. The procedure was done by Dr. Cooper, Dr. Kaplan in Dallas. He's expected to return to a full football activities within 6 months, but he is down for the year. And you know, that is a major hit for them. You could see they on both sides of the ball, especially from a receiver standpoint, on the outside, especially without Brian Thomas Jr., they lacked some big playability and speed out there without him. And obviously he flips and plays the other side. So a big injury there. And I'm going to tell you what, I wonder if this slows down the thought process of, you know, allowing him to play both ways, allowing him to play offense, defense coming to the next year. I don't think that worked out the best way possible or as good as they thought it might work out. Then he ends up getting injured and missing the remainder of the season. I do wonder, is this going to make them rethink how they were approaching that?
Yeah, I think the overall product of Travis Hunter before the injury is going to make them rethink it. I don't know if the injury will. Unless for some reason, yeah, they may have some data or information that it's mileage, it's high mileage that caused this. I don't know. But for me, I've just thought that it was strange from jump, not to say that the guy's going to play both ways, but to say that a guy's going to be on the offensive side of the football and then just jump over to defense. Like, defensively, when the huddle breaks, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea. It's all reactionary. Like, what formation is the offense in? What personnel is the offense in? What coverage are we in? What pressure? What are we going to – what's our adjustment if they motion across the ball and go back to 2x2? You know, it's all reactionary. That is – to me, the more difficult part to master at the NFL level, if you're going to compare one versus the other. So mastering the defense and being in on every – because that changes every week, not by choice. That changes by the offense that you're going to face. You've got to have answers for everything they throw at you, personnel and formation and motion and everything, concepts and all that. So to think that a guy can do that part-time – and then go do the part where, hey, I'm telling you to run 12 yards and stare at the quarterback, stop and look at the quarterback. We're going to do that, you know, full time. That's always been odd to me, Ron, with him. And I stick to my guns now. I think this is a Deion Sanders. I think this is a
defensive player that has some small
a lockdown corner.
I'm going to say it, but a small grouping of plays. Yes, maybe on small the package side of the ball.
Small package. I don't know if he's got a small or yeah, large package, yeah, literally, but yeah, his offensive.
That's
package.
That's why I backed off of it. I said right, a small grouping of plays.
Right, right, right.
We know Clint's brother didn't.
No. Well, I mean, it depends on usually this. Yeah.
Clint's was more his of was the
berries.
Scrotum.
His was the berries. I mean, there ain't no doubt, man. The light switch was, but them boy them berries. But yeah, like I don't know. I think he comes back. I think it's I'll argue it's common sense. He plays. He becomes a lockdown corner in the league. And Jacksonville, we will get you when we need you to run somebody off, or where if we do throw you the ball, it's a jump ball, which is exactly where you're great. If the corner's soft, we'll throw you a little hitch route, a little stack route, and we'll let you be an athlete. We'll design some misdirections for you to get you touches to use the explosive playmaking ability that you have. Other than that, you're going to be a lockdown corner.
I'd imagine there's going to be some adjustments off of what happened this year. Because you know, I mean, they moved up and gave up a lot to get him. Yeah. And it seemed like they just weren't able to kind of figure out themselves the best way to utilize him.
Yeah.
To get the most out of him. And so then they just kind of got maybe a slightly above average player on either side of the ball.
Yeah.
Instead of
well, it seemed like they're doing what the player wants, which the player said, I'm going to play both ways. I don't want to go anywhere that I'm not going to play both ways. So, I mean, now you hope there's enough of a sample size to say, hey, man, here's what's best for you. I would say offense is even a third. I would use the guy as a lockdown corner. He would be a return specialist that I picked and choose when I want him to be back there to impact the games. And then we're gonna have some offensive plays that you know like the back of your hand before we ever start training camp, and it never changes. It changes very minimal, if at all, through the end of the season. And we're gonna let you be a great player instead of being out there thinking about what's my depth, where do I align, what if they roll coverage, what if they – nah, man. Just let the dude play offensively. I think that's how you get your money out of Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't know, Ron, that he – I don't know that if you'd flip-flop that, I don't know that he's a first-round wide receiver talent. Like, in a vacuum –
I think a lot of people thought he was a better receiver than he was corner. Yeah.
But like, when you get to the league, all of a sudden, you being a better athlete and being able to run faster, jump higher – and out maneuver folks, that even if that's still true, it shrinks significantly, and I just don't know that you got to become a very polished route runner. You got to be like, I don't know. I think the way they get their money out of him is on the defensive side of football, not the offense.
Yeah. We'll see, but he's going to be down for the year, and that certainly does not help their playoff chances. Like, even though they did not get the most out of him, there were elements this year where he had flashes and moments where he came up with huge plays.
Oh, no doubt.
Huge plays on both sides of the ball. Just going up offensively, he has the ability as an athlete to just go up and go get the ball and make plays that he's done a couple of times this year that's really helped this team, and they lose that element. With the Jags. So Travis Hunter out for the year. Real quick, somebody did text us in, was wondering, like, should there be concern about Frank Ross's group and the special teams? They were really bad on Sunday. I mean, really bad on Sunday. Is this just, you know, they were really bad, just had a bad day, or this may be a sign of something to come in? They gave up 90 punt return yards, including a 73-1 for a touch. They gave up 160 kickoff yards. fumbled a punt return, 15-yard penalty to extend a drive. Yeah, they had a bad day. You concerned about?
I'm not. They definitely had a bad day. We'll acknowledge that. They had a terrible day. But to me, Frank Ross has earned a little bit of grace. You know, this is the first time this is the first time that I can remember after a game going, boy, the special teams killed us today.
And wasn't even a kicker that was new.
Yeah, no. It wasn't the one guy that you thought could potentially implode the thing. But no, I think Frank Ross deserves a little bit of grace here, man. I'm good to keep him off the hook for right now. Let's not make a habit of it now.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say they don't have too many times where they put the team in position like this. They really could have lost this game.
Absolutely.
And purely because of the issues they had on special teams.
Yeah, well, especially the way you're built your defense has to damn near shut everybody out. And if your special teams all of a sudden is giving up points, then you got major problems. You know, you're fighting against each other. So it was a rough go at it for the special teams, no question about it.
They haven't shown this like this in a week.
Nah, well, I think, to be honest with you, I don't like to throw this term around, like lean on this kind of deal. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he punted that damn ball 80 yards. 80 plus yards in the air. I think there is a part of like, hey man, you out punted your coverage kind of deal. Like the coverage got out of whack because it was an 80 yard punt and not a 60 yard punt. And I think that probably caused some problems and they got to fix it. But I think you can look at that and go, I see kind of what went south here before the guy ever caught the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. They struggle. Yeah. This keeps happening. Then there's another thing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to get fired like the Raiders special teams coordinator did the night after.
Ran up out of there, huh?
Yeah, right after it. All right. Coming up, we got to get a little bit more in-depth with Davis Mills. You can send yours in, 713-572-4610. We got our quarterback back in the building, Clint Sterner. What would you grade Davis Mills' his performance in the game on Sunday? 27 of 45, 292, three total touchdowns, one rushing, two passing touchdowns, and an INT. How would you grade Davis Mills? We'll do that next.